Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Do you have an opinion on the RoboDuck? Is that fair, or is that going too far?
I don't even know about it.
The RoboDuck? The decoy?
Oh, the ducks, decoys?
Yeah.
You know what? If you've seen me shoot a shotgun, you'd know that ducks and doves and pheasants aren't afraid of anything I do.
Yeah.
So
no.
a rifle or a handgun is a different story. I can shoot.
Yeah.
But a shotgun, I don't shoot enough anymore. So the doves actually encourage me to go hunting because it gives them a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, I went to Ogallala a couple weeks ago to kind of just get away a little bit. I didn't go to Lake Mac, which I know is a very avid outdoor place, but was in that area, went to a little farmer's market and things like that, just trying to get away a little bit and still be kind of socially distanced. So I'd never been so happy to be in Nebraska, Terry.
Yeah. Did you get to see their tree?
What do you mean their tree? The one tree
in
Nebraska?
I think they have one anyway.
Yeah.
Ogallala and Big Mac are beautiful areas really in the summer, and there's a lot of great recreation there. I do have a question that I'm sure it's going to come up over and over again, but how confident are you that they're going to pull off this NFL season, and how is COVID going to affect it?
Well, the NFL, I'm fairly confident. Now, what I'm not confident about, which we will talk about on the show, and I'm going to throw a fireball at D-Mac for his baby tantrum he threw yesterday. I'm not so certain about college football, even though they're trying to cobble together some rules here kind of at the last minute. NFL, I think they're going to try and find a way to get through it. College football, I'm just not so sure.
Yeah, and the Big Ten and the Pac-10 have already canceled non-conference games. How would you like to be Notre Dame? You're not in a conference.
Well, they are. They're in the ACC, sort of, for football, so I'm sure they'll still play their ACC games.
Yeah, but you're probably right there, I guess. But it's going to be interesting. Well, my friend, I tell you what, I'm going to close things up, and then you can tell people all about it. You've been listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. Join us every Saturday from 9 to 11. We cover fishing, hunting, camping, outdoor activities. We want to get you out there. Next week, we're going to have 9 News come on with us at 9 o'clock, and we're going to talk lightning safety. That is incredibly important here in Colorado. You don't want to miss that. That's 9 o'clock next Saturday. If you ever do miss an episode, we podcast a lot on right on the fan itself at 1043thefan.com, but also my Facebook page. I post a lot of the podcasts, and we also give you references to our YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom. So follow that. Join us on Facebook at Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. We'll let the Eagle take us to the top of the hour and Dan Jacobs in sports.
Heard the mission bell. I was thinking to myself, this could be heaven and this could be hell.
Justin Simmons is back with the Broncos on his one-year franchise tag. Can the two sides agree on a long-term deal before Wednesday's deadline? There's never an off-season for talking Broncos. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. KKFN and KKFN 81 Longmont Denver. From the American Financing Studios. Denver's sports station. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents the Honorable Judge Dan Jacobs.
I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. I wish I had a better voice and sang some better words. I wish I found some chords in an order that is new. I wish I didn't have to rhyme.
Good morning. Welcome to the Dan Jacobs Show. Back on Saturdays, as Terry was saying, for the first time in a while, I think I've been off 3 consecutive Saturdays. So happy to be back here. Beautiful day outside. Is it going to be sizzling hot again?
They kind of cool down a little bit.
Is it today? Is it going to be cooler?
Yeah, a cool 91 on the docket today.
Kyle Berry behind the glass. Mr. Berry, how are you?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Dan? Good to see you. I missed you.
Yes, I missed you as well. You're playing the 21 Pilots in honor of my daughter.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. But big day for, in fact, she's got about 30 minutes to a kind of seminal moment in her life. first real job interview coming up at 11:30.
At Waterworld or what?
Dion's over at the pizza shop over by the Aurora, Kansas border where we live.
Is she going to be delivering the pizza, making the pizza, or ringing up the pizza?
She will not be delivering the pizza because she doesn't have a license. She just turned 16, and we didn't get her permit until after her 16th birthday. So, which is kind of weird because, like, I bought a car when she was, I think, 1 year old, and now that's her car that she's driving. The old Toyota Matrix.
She'll take it, though.
Yeah, well, yeah, she's taking it. She drove us around last night. So she's not driving anywhere. But she, you know, I would assume she'll be handing out pizzas and ringing things up. You know, they have nice, what they have over there is they'll take the cookie and they'll throw it in the pizza oven and it makes it nice and warm and gooey.
Mm.
So it's, that's kind of a go-to thing over there. They put green chili on pizzas. It's a New Mexico. It's a New Mexico pizza joint, Kyle. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
What the?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard there's a lot of Italians in Mexico, New Mexico.
Right, new Italians. And what was your first job interview?
Waterworld.
Was it really?
Yep, Waterworld and then paddle boats on the local lake.
They didn't have paddle boats when you were a kid?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, paddle boats were still a thing.
Paddle boats, not paddle boards.
Paddle boards are cool, too.
What's a paddle boat?
A paddle boat.
Like a kayak?
You know, those swan-looking boats where you paddle and you pedal, basically.
Paddle boat.
You know, it's got a little rudder on the back.
Yeah. My girls wanted to. Where were we at last? Last time I think we were in, like, Tampa or something. They wanted to get one of those. I think they did. And then they got really tired. Like, we couldn't make it back. Our legs were too tired. Kids today they don't ride bikes or anything. So
yeah, people would get stuck on the lake because it was too exhausting. You know, the wind would be blowing or whatever, and they couldn't. Their time was up on their paddle boat.
Yeah,
and they got stuck on the lake because they couldn't paddle back into the station.
Now, did you work at Waterworld?
Mm-hmm.
And how was that?
I worked in the gift shop. It was good. I worked there for like 7 years.
Really? Mm-hmm. In the gift shop the whole time?
Yep.
You could never transition. Don't they do like concerts and stuff there, like Helix's? You couldn't get onto the concert crew?
I could probably get onto the concert crew if I wanted to, but yeah. I had a pretty cush gig. It was air conditioned. And...
Yeah, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
That's a bonus. I interviewed at Helix's and I got offered a job, but I didn't have a car yet, and my mom was just not having it. Like, I was like, well, I'll take the bus.
I'm sensing a theme here. Your daughter would be a delivery driver, but didn't have a car yet.
Yeah.
You would be working at Helix's, but didn't have a car yet.
Well, see, the problem was two different scenarios here. My daughter, well, back when I was a kid, I think you only had to have your permit for 3 months. But, so my daughter just didn't get her permit until now you have to be a year. She just didn't get on the stick and get her permit until she was 16. I, on the other hand, was grounded. There was, some sort of an incident with, maybe sneaking in a young lady into the room. And so part of my grounding was no license until after I was 16.
Did you ever attempt to sneak into Helix's or Waterworld?
No, I wouldn't. Why would I do that?
That was just a thing back in the day.
Yeah, you just
sneaking into Helix's or Waterworld when they were, you know, closed.
Oh, no. I was a law-abiding, moral upstanding citizen, you know, other than sneaking the girl into my room in eighth grade or whatever. But no, I would never think of.
I thought you were a bad boy.
Yeah. No. I thought it was going to be fun to work at Helix's. But yeah, my mom was like mad. You know, I was like, well, I'll just take the bus or whatever. But I think she knew. As parents, you know, you're like, yeah, kids have a great idea. Like, you know, getting a pet. Oh, they're going to clean up after the pet. They never clean up after the pet. Oh, you're going to take the bus downtown to Helix's. In fact, then, I don't even know if Helix's was downtown yet. It may have been over by Lakeside in Casa Bonita. She's like, oh, yeah, you're going to take...
That's a good Helix's, too.
Yeah. What are that? And do we know where they're getting rid of Helix's, right?
I mean, I don't want to say one way or another. I don't know enough information there.
Well, what I heard, last I heard was, they're putting up condos, baby. So Helix's is either going to have to move or just go bye-bye, but that site will not be continue to be Helix's. So I don't know what it's going to be, but yeah. You know, my mom was like, yeah, sure, kid. You're going to drive, you know, take a bus 2 hours each way to go to Elitch's every day to get to work. No, I'll end up driving you, and I don't want that. That was probably the source of her angst, would be my guess. So I didn't take the Elitch's job. My first official job, can you take a guess, Kyle?
Your first official job,
yes.
I'm going to guess cleaning bowling balls.
No, it was although Terry Wickstrom was my bowling coach, KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
You're looking good?
It was glorious. We had such a good time over at KFC. But that doesn't exist anymore. It was the one over on Iliff and Buckley. They tore it down. They completely, razed the building. It's gone. No more KFC. But yeah, that was my first. I mean, I always had a bunch of little jobs. I was always trying to hustle for money, but my first paying on the books job was at Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Are you an original or a crispy guy?
Both. It just depended. Rotated. You know what I really liked was those little parfaits that nobody ever bought. So, there was the little pudding parfaits or whatever, so I ate way too many of those.
Okay. Those are good.
Yeah, all sorts of shenanigans. You wouldn't want to know what was going on over at the old KFC at Buckley and Iliff. That was a Randy guy.
Are you one of those guys that's like KFC chicken doesn't taste the way it used to? Or does it still taste the same as it did?
I don't I don't like the chicken skin anymore. So for me now, everything is, I might get a wing, like a real bone-in wing every once in a while, but I only eat like the drumettes. I won't eat the flappers. Everything for me is either a boneless wing or a tender or a nugget. Like I get grossed out by the skin. I don't know why. It just kind of grosses me out. So I don't really eat the chicken anymore. So I don't know. Is there a difference now between KFC? Is the new chicken different?
Well, I just know that there's, that mantra about like Taco Bell, the meat's not the same as it used to be. There's certain fast food places around locally that they're like, oh man, it just isn't the same as it used to be.
Nah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't eat enough KFC chicken, but yeah. That was where it all got started, baby. And then, I was off and running.
Now look at you.
Yes, right. Now I'm still working part-time jobs, right? You're working a part-time job here with you, which, by the way, happy 40th birthday to the one and only KYGO. They are celebrating their 40th birthday this week. Now, the fan turned 25 on my birthday on March 6th, so we continue to kind of celebrate that. We were supposed to have, at some point we will, a big old, awards banquet and a thing for the fan to celebrate its 25th birthday. But KYGO today doing a huge, I didn't realize this. Kyle, did you know Bob Call was the original program director at KYGO? He was the first one. I mean, when they went country. And how would you like to be like those guys who are Bob and those guys at KYGO? They just called up and like, hey, Garth Brooks, we want you to do our birthday thing today. Carrie Underwood, all the huge heavy hitters for the country music genre. They're all doing a live concert today for KYGO.
Yeah, they're connected for sure. They know the biggest country artists in the game.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So that's going on today after the Dan Jacobs show. You don't want to miss a second of this show. I promise you that. A lot going on today. We're going to talk about Mike Shanahan making it into the Hall of Fame. We're going to have Broncos historian Jim Sacamano on next segment. We'll have Jim's Marilat talk about that a little bit. We'll get into that discussion. We'll revisit from the Mile High Memories podcast, kind of the Reeves and Shanahan affair, so to speak. Kind of talk about some of the greatest coaches in Broncos history. Also, D-Mac throwing an absolute fit over CU not getting to play CSU this year. For some reason, that really stuck in his craw. So I'll throw a fireball at D-Mac a little bit later in the show. But, Kyle, before I let you go, before you quit on us, your favorite Mike Shanahan. When you think of Mike Shanahan, what do you think?
Oh, man. I'm going to try. I don't know if I have enough time here. I'm going to try to pull up the audio. But it's got to be when Terrell Davis in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 32, when Terrell Davis turned and told Mike Shanahan, coach, I can't see. And Mike Shanahan says, okay, excellent. Here's what we're going to do. We don't need you to see. We just need you to be in there, because if you're not in there, they will not know that we are going to run the ball.
Yeah, I have great respect for Mike Shanahan.
So, funny you mentioned that. That's also my favorite memory. So, Kyle, if you go into my folder, for today, there is a soundbite. It's labeled TD Blind, and which we're actually going to play this segment. So it's phenomenal. Yes. And the way Mike Shanahan said it was, he was just completely smooth about it. It was like he didn't even consider, like, putting TD on the bench.
Charles, today I can't see.
Can't see. Okay, just do this. You don't worry about seeing on this place because we're going to fake it to you, the 15 lead. But if you're not in there, they won't believe we're going to throw the ball.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like he's, and he goes in, and then it was almost like TD was kind of like whining to John Elway about it, too. Like, John, I can't see. He's like, don't worry, just go left. Like Shanahan and Elway were both completely on the same page, like, Don't worry about it, TD. Just go be a decoy and we'll get the touchdown. And
Shanahan was the master of getting away with stuff that would not fly in today's game. Everybody knows the cut blocks or whatever, the chop blocks and the way that they kind of put together that zone blocking system and the bootlegs. And then also telling Terrell Davis you don't need to see. I don't think with concussion protocols that would be allowed in today's game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, or could you imagine the NFLP PA allowing him to do, God, what was that guy's name? I think it was Vontre Holland. It was a guy they had signed, a big, giant offensive lineman they signed. I think maybe he came over from Dallas, but he was overweight. And they took that guy, and they wouldn't let him practice. He had to push one of those giant sleds, and the trainer was on the sled. He would have to push that sled like 50-yard line and back all day long until he lost enough weight where they would weigh him. And they weighed him in like twice a day, and just day in, day out. He's up there pushing. I think at the time it was Rich Tootin was the strength and conditioning coach. Holland would push the sled 50 yards, and then Tootin would push it back. But in the heat and all that, I don't know if you get away with that anymore.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But that's what made Shanahan so great. He was a savage, kind of willing to push the envelope. Definitely has some Bill Belichick in him, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I wonder if Belichick's had a Hall of Fame quarterback for, how long did he have Brady? 15, 18 years? 20 years? If Shanahan had gotten his hands on one more Hall of Fame quarterback, maybe he's in the discussion for the greatest of all time, which is a good debate, that we, certainly can have. I want to get up to the text line real quick before we get off to Jim Sakamoto. I'm looking forward to this, long time Broncos, PR man now for the last 7 years or so serving as, one of the team's historians. You can always catch him on the Broncos website. I'm going to have him next, but we have a few people in here. Russell in Lafayette. Well, I missed you too. It says, hey, Dan, I missed you too. And then Famous Bowls are heaven. Somebody says, talking about KFC. I've never had a KFC Famous Bowl. Kyle, have you?
Yeah, they're bomb. It's like everything. It's like everything KFC has thrown at you. Also, did you know they don't do corn on the cob anymore?
I did not know that.
That took me a while. I had to sit in the drive-thru just in silence for 5 minutes, and they were like, sir? And I was like, sorry, I'm just still getting over the fact that there's no corn on the cob on the menu anymore.
Move along. You know what they really need to go back to is the original Chicken Little. Not what they have now where they just throw a chicken tender on some dry bun. They have remember those? You might be too young. The little Chicken Littles, man, those were a little, they were like little sliders, basically. Mm-hmm. Those were good things. You know, we had a buddy. Nah, I'm not going to tell the story. It's too gruesome. I want to keep this. We had a very gruesome accident at the KFC I was working at one time, but we're not going to go into that. Yeah.
What? You're just going to do that? You're just going to say we had a really gruesome accident at KFC, but you know what? I'm not going to go into it.
All right. We got 1 minute. We're taking out the mac and cheese. The mac and cheese was a revolution. Before, when I first started working there, you couldn't get mac and cheese. But then they brought in the mac and cheese. It was in catering pans. You throw it in the oven. And this young man, who's still a friend of mine today, he takes out this mac and cheese and it crumples. The aluminum pan crumples. Mac and cheese all over his arm. And he happens to be African American. I'd be panicking. Piping up. So he just sets the pan down calmly. He grabs a wet rag, goes to wipe off the mac and cheese. All the skin just comes off and all it is just pink. Like, just, I'm like, oh, like, I'm about to lose it. I'm like, dude, you got to go to the hospital. We got to call 911. He's like, nah, just give me the first aid kit. I'll be all right. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. No, 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 no. Like, I'm about to faint. And this kid's just cool. Cool as a cucumber. And I ran into him about 5 years ago. I'm like, do you have a scar from that? He's like, oh, yeah, right here. It's my KFC scar.
Oh, my God.
My uncle always tells me I should have sued. I could have been a millionaire. I'm like, God. No, I mean, it was gruesome, but he was just cool, man. Maybe that's why he made manager, and I never did. That old KFC.
You weren't willing to take a mac and cheese to the arm.
No, yeah, not, you know, I didn't need a skin graft, you know, for mac and cheese. All right, I don't want to be late with Mr. Sacamano. Jim Sacamano from the Denver Broncos joining us next.
Justin Simmons is back with the Broncos on his one-year franchise tag. Can the two sides agree on a long-term deal before Wednesday's deadline? It's there's never an off-season for Talking Broncos. Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Businesses are starting to bounce back. But what if you could do better than that? What if you could adapt, deliver, and succeed in new ways with new customers? At Comcast Business, we're committed to helping you not just bounce back, but bounce forward. That's why we're offering a powerful and reliable internet and voice solution now for only $64.90 a month with a 2-year agreement. It'll help you stay ahead with a network you can count on, stay connected with 24/7 support, and thrive with flexible solutions that work wherever you are. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go online today to find out more. Plus, ask how to get a prepaid card worth up to $300. Comcast Business. Offer ends 8/22/2020. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 35 megabits internet and one voice line. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, installation, taxes, and fees extra. Subject to change.
Todd Whalen, founder of Advanced Tax Solutions, talks with Bert, a client.
Bert, tell us your story. What happened?
Well, I hadn't filed taxes for years. I was separated from my wife, and I just couldn't find the paperwork, so I hadn't filed, and that got me in a deep mess.
How many years did you have outstanding?
6 years.
And what happened?
Well, they kept sending me paperwork, and I thought the stall tactic would work, but it didn't. And then they finally sent me a huge bill.
I saw in my notes here that ultimately it turned out to be about $200,000.
About $200,000. They kept adding fees. And
who did you work with at Advanced Tax Solutions?
Frank over there.
Frank had him reopen the case and take a look at it. And what was the outcome on that?
Well, it was really good. They got it down to about $2,400. So from almost $200,000 down to $2,400.
Wow. So what do you think of about Advanced Tax Solutions? Do you think they were fair to you?
Oh, not only fair, but just the best guys you'd want to work with.
If you need help, call Advanced Tax Solutions at 303-753-6040 or on the net at advancedtaxsolutions.com.
Hey, Colorado! Rastaman is back to say, welcome to summer! You got all the hot deals on cool wheels at Medved Kia! Yeah, mine, just go to MedvedKia.com and look at all these specials!
What are you doing?
Let's go to Medved Kia. I know we were going camping, but Medved Kia is loaded with new Kias, including the new 2020 Kia Telluride and the all-new 2021 Kia Seltos.
Great!
Plus, every Kia Medved sells is backed with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
Okay, but I'm wearing the mask, not the bandana. I look like a villain from a Roy Rogers movie.
You're old. No one knows who Roy Rogers is.
The Trade Up to a Kia sales event. Medved Kia on I-70 in Wheat Ridge. Exit Kipling, exit Ward, but exit the giant Medved Autoplex. Online at MedvedKia.com. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details.
Agent Rocky, Operation Fireball is top priority. Safely infiltrate our favorite spirits and wine shop for the precious cargo, Fireball.
Never failed a mission before, Chief. I won't let you down.
We're in crazy times, Rocky. Don't forget to put on your mask, latex gloves. Stay at least 6 feet away from civilians at all times, but don't forget the Fireball.
It's too important to me. I would never.
Our quarantine allies are counting on you to grab it cold. South entrance is clear. Go, go!
Fireball, available at your local spirits and wine shop. Stay safe and healthy. Whiskey with natural cinnamon flavor. 33% alcohol by volume. Produced by Sazerac Company, Frankfort, Kentucky. Ignite the night responsibly.
Tune into This Dream House Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. on 104.3 The Fan. This Dream House is a show all about the home, discussing renovations, remodeling, and everything home-related. This Dream House is sponsored by Appliance Factory and Mattress Kingdom. Save 30 to 60% today.
Hi, Dan Cicchini, Dunright Kitchens and Baths, Windows and Doors. Take your home like it is, and we'll help you make it like you want it. Been doing just that successfully for over 30 years now. 800-362-8370 or drhi.com.
Taking a break from laying down the law in the courtroom to lay down the law in the sports world. Here's Judge Dan Jacobs on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Straight out to the hotline, Broncos historian, Vice President Emeritus of the Denver Broncos, Jim Saccomano joins the program. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for asking me, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk to you about Mike Shanahan, of course. Long deserved, well deserved. I wouldn't say long. I mean, we knew this was going to happen. I had been speaking with one of your former our proteges about this last season. And they said, well, we just kind of want to do this at the right time to honor Mike in the right way. And so we knew this was coming. But your thoughts now that it's actually happened, Mike Shanahan, next year when we get fans back in the stands, will be in the Ring of Fame. Your thoughts?
Well, it's very well deserved, Dan. And, you know, last year Champ was going to the Hall of Fame, but there were so many things around Champ we did not want to take away from Mike. And so Mike is going in this year, although he will officially be inducted next year. But you know, I could recite Mike's statistics, but I guess, Dan, I'd have to ask, first of all, what's for breakfast and what time does the show get over?
Right.
Because there are so many statistics. You know, like you talk about a key statistic. There are like 19 key statistics for Mike Shanahan. He was great. And in the manner of many people who are great, he was a driven individual and not driven by personal success and fame as much as the next thing. Whatever the next thing was, he wanted to succeed at that 100%. And if one does that often enough, if one does that continually, then all you're doing is succeed 100% at every moment. And, boy, he put great people around him, and he drove that chariot like Charlton Heston and Ben-Hur.
Yes, sir. Well, it was funny you were mentioning he always wanted to do the next thing. I put together some clips that I'll play later in the show, I took from DenverBroncos.com, and I was struck by how many, you know, they had a kind of a highlight package of his speeches, and there was a large number of these speeches that said, hey, enjoy the win, great job, but here's our goal, our next goal, or you know, the next one. He was always looking towards the next thing to accomplish.
I can think of two things. After we'd won Super Bowl II, I mean, after we'd won the second consecutive Super Bowl, and the team was in the locker room, and eventually they're all in the locker room, and everybody kneels, says a prayer, and then Mike says, okay, enjoy it tonight, and let's get ready. We're going for three.
Right.
And before that, I can even remember, and these are kind of goosebump moments for me, as before we took the field for Super Bowl 32 against Green Bay in San Diego, he had one of the shortest pregame speeches that anybody will ever hear. He said, I mean, it was dead silence, and he said, okay, men, let's go show the world what this football team is all about. And they got up, and, boy, doors couldn't hold them back, Dan. I had told people during the week we were going to go through the Green Bay Packers like grain through a goose, and people just chuckled. But, we had a couple of things they didn't know we had, and Mike Shanahan was one of them.
So, Sacco, I was reading Sacco says in anticipation of speaking to you this morning, something really struck me because it kind of paralleled when I first met you. I was a young man. I was right out of DU. I think I was 22, 23. And I had a lot of great conversations with you. I never worked for you, but at some point,
I remember those.
Yeah. At some point I kind of think of you as a mentor because I watched you and I watched the way you ran your department, the professionalism that your guys had. And I'm reading this article, and you say the same thing about Mike Shanahan, but you weren't a young guy when you first started working with Mike, so it's impressive to me that even though you were already established as one of the top guys in your field, talk about how you say you learned what to do, what not to do. You picked up a lot from Mike Shanahan.
I did. I did pick up a lot from Mike Shanahan. I knew a great deal about public relations and publicity and so forth before he joined, but then afterwards, you know, you kind of polish the apple a bit. Is this good for the Denver Broncos? Is this interview, somebody's making a request. They think it's a demand. Well, that's nice, but it's not a demand. It's a request. Now, is this request beneficial to the Broncos? Will it help the Broncos, or will it not? And the questions that we all know about journalism, who, what, when, where, why, and how, about writing a story, those also apply to the PR standpoint. As a question that I have to ask myself, who do they want, what, when, where, why, how, will it benefit us, how long will it take? And if enough of those answers are no, we'll politely say no. But you learn to measure every single thing you do. And with Mike, there was a certain standard. It was a standard of exceptionalism. And, Dan, I'm not kidding. Once upon a time, Mike Heimerdinger, his college roommate, who, by the way, was the one who went and ran for emergency the treatment when Mike lost a kidney, you know, after an inter-squad game. And Mike Heimerdinger said, "You don't look good, Mike." They gave Mike Shanahan the last rites. Anyway, so they were very close, very close. And Mike Heimerdinger was offensive coordinator. Mike Shanahan asked him to do a report. Heimerdinger gave it to him, and he said, "That's good, but it's not good enough. It's not what I want." Heimerdinger had to go back and do it over again. He came back, and Mike said, "Nah, it's not quite still what I want. You got to do it again." Heimerdinger comes back the third time, and Mike Shanahan says, "That's perfect, perfect. That is now your standard. Because you've shown you can do it at this level. From now on, nothing less than this level will ever be expected from you."
Yeah, it's interesting to see the media react now to, because I think all of us have one story or another. Mike Shanahan's attention to detail was so great that oftentimes now media consider it a badge of honor, but being called up or called out by Mike Shanahan, like if you said something that he didn't think was correct, he cared so much, he would say, "I want to talk to this guy."
It would be very common because he would – sometimes he wouldn't read the newspaper clippings. Sometimes he would just – I asked him if he read them. He said, "No, but you did, right?" And it was really a good relationship. I'd say, "That's correct, Mike."
Yeah.
And everybody said it was a normal thing. And so-and-so says, "You're an idiot." He says, "Well, yeah, okay, that all sounds good to me." But sometimes he would read them all. And then sometimes he would say, "Yes, I'd like to speak to Dan Jacobs after this press conference, or I'd like to speak to Adam Schefter and say, where'd you get this? It's incorrect." And he would fix it. You know, no matter what the detail, there was no detail too small. You know, it's like if you're putting a tire on a car, Dan, and you don't tighten two of the lug nuts, you will find out about that someday in a bad time, in a bad way. You got to tighten all the lug nuts. And Mike Shanahan tightened all the lug nuts all the time.
Have you ran into anybody else like that? Now, Peyton Manning's the only, I mean, I know Belichick's got to be
Peyton
like
Manning.
It. But in your year, I mean, you've worked, how many head coaches did you work with, five or six?
Oh, I about that, yeah, I lose track. I could, you know, time's wasted on the radio, so you don't want to take seconds for me to count them up. But five or six, sure.
Were any of them anywhere near that on the – now, I'm not talking – on the level of attention to detail, had you seen anything like it?
No, no. Passion, desire to win, everybody has that, you know. And it would be embarrassing – it would be insulting to suggest that somebody didn't. But attention to detail, Mike was in a class by himself except for – Peyton Manning, who of course was not a coach. You know, like some people have said, "Oh, Peyton, he had a coach." Really? If you think that's a good goal, and if you think you'd like to work for him, have a nice day, because about 3 a.m. when that phone rings, you know, you'll find out how much you like it. Yeah, Mike had a great attention to detail. You just had to assume that whatever was involved with anything, you needed to do properly, because Mike would it was a factor. That's all. You know, you had to tighten all the metal up nuts. You didn't do anything else. And he was a pleasure. He was hard. He was difficult. He was uncompromising. And I say those things as the greatest of tributes.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of his case for the Hall of Fame? You think he'll get in?
I think he's a cinch to make it, and for a couple of reasons. Well, one, he deserves it. You know, there are only seven coaches who have won 170 games or more, and four of them are in Belichick's going in, and so Mike and Tom Coughlin, who coached in New York City, are the only two, and they'll make it. You could also, though, say coaches with one team who became a head coach of that team and won two Super Bowls and have at least 200 wins, Mike's fourth. It's Belichick, Landry, Shula, and Shanahan. Fourth. So when you start talking about things that you can count without using a thumb, Dan, you got to give that pretty strong consideration. You know, and people don't necessarily realize how much he does behind the scenes of the San Francisco 49ers. Somebody asked him once what his title was with the organization, and he said, Dad, which is pretty good. My title is just Dad.
Right.
But he watches a lot of video, gives a lot of comment, and I'll tell you, because I knew him from when he was a little boy, a lot of the development and growth of Kyle Shanahan comes directly from Mike. It's amazing. I mean, you don't have time, and I wouldn't give you every story. But from about the age of 17 to like 22, one day I just turned to Mike. I said, Mike, what the heck happened to Kyle? Now, I knew that Kyle had kind of turned himself over to his father, you know, in terms of following his advice, taking his development. And he said, very humbly, he'd always say, he just developed a little bit. You know, sometimes they grow a little bit. And I said, oh, my gosh, he ought to be with us now. And he said, yeah, but frankly, that's all I need is, headline, Shanahan hires his own son. He said, so, no, he's better off in Tampa with Kubiak or whatever, you know, and he'll learn and everything. And, I mean, to me, they're on the cusp, Dan. And I don't think anybody – if you ask me whose future do I like better, Kansas City's or San Francisco's, unequivocally, I'd say San Francisco's. Now, I know they trail – Kansas City won Super Bowl to zero, but I like San Francisco's with Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. Where is he in these? You really don't hear him when we talk Hall of Fame. You really haven't heard any him on any list. Where is he in that process?
He's not bombastic. He doesn't like the two guys who just got in on this list of 10.
Yeah.
Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson, rather.
Yeah.
In my opinion, both of them talk a lot. They're on TV. They have those qualities that want to put you on TV. And I don't think Mike is that. You know, I think Mike is like the gambler who would rather keep the cards close to his vest. And you never know what he had unless he has to show them to beat you. You know, one time we were undefeated, which we were undefeated with him three consecutive years at home. But one time we were undefeated about 6-0. And I said, boy, coach, you know, I wonder sometimes what it is that you see that others don't see. And he just chuckled and said, oh, I don't know. I just hope I keep seeing it, and got a cup of coffee and walked out of the coffee shop. But he didn't really tell me anything. You know what I mean? Mike wouldn't really tell you anything. He knew stuff, but he would be very, very polite. He'd answer every question, but you'd never know everything that it is that he knew.
Yeah. Unless you're Peyton Manning playing golf with him, right? He was trying to get everything.
Well, that is true. I will say, you know, we had gone to the AFC Championship game, and we lost the Steelers. And, of course, because we lost the championship game, our coaches had to coach the Pro Bowl. So Mike goes over, Peyton Manning's in the Pro Bowl because they hadn't won the title either, won the AFC. And every day, Pro Bowl practices are really light, Dan. I mean, it's like 9:30 to 11, and it's almost like touch football. It's real soft, real light, you know, and then they all go play golf, or they go see their wives. Back to the hotel, lunch with the wife, play golf, see shopping, whatever, you know, every day. But when they played golf, that's where it really got serious, because for 3.5 hours, all Manning did was ask Mike Shanahan, how do you feel about this, coach? How do you feel about that? What do you think about this?
Right.
What do you think of that? And I remember when he came back in a couple of conversations, it was obvious to me that Jake Plummer, who was a wonderful athlete, and he loved playing when he was on the football field, and he loved racquetball when he was on the racquetball court. And you know, Jake didn't probably have a 25-hour-a-day passion with the game. And it was apparent to me that we were about to draft somebody else, that we drafted Jay Cutler, and it might have worked out. But then things happened. Mike was relieved of his duties, and Cutler went elsewhere, and that was that.
Yes. Last one for you, Jim, and I really appreciate your time. Jim Sakamoto.
And that happens. You know, yeah, that happens. So that's neither here nor there. It just takes place that way.
Yeah. But the last one, because we talked about this a couple weeks ago, we've been doing a podcast that looks back on Denver stuff, and we talked about John Elway in the 90s. So, of course, part of that story was Shanahan. Part of that story was Dan Reeves. Part of that story was Shanahan and Dan Reeves.
Yeah.
I would assume that you would say that Mike Shanahan is the greatest coach in Broncos history. Is Dan Reeves?
And the kind of a person also, like Dan now lives in Georgia. Well, that's wonderful. And he was great. But Mike is like John. They've just been tied into Denver since the day they got here. Forever. And it's never changed or gone away. You know, yes. John could have moved anywhere. He could have built a house anywhere in California. But he's still here. And he's getting banged around a little bit. Not much, because I think people, you know, now I think it's upsurging again. Well, Mike Shanahan, too, he lives here. Now he's doing stuff for the Niners, but you could not say that he's not tied to the Denver Broncos, and he has been since 1984. It's a long time. 36 years, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Where would you say, is Dan Reeves number two, or is he a little further down the list?
For Denver Broncos coaches?
Yes.
I would say Dan Reeves is number two.
Number two? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was curious about. I said last one for you, but I guess I have one more. Next year, when he's honored with the Ring of Fame, is it possible that they have to do it when he's visiting as a coach? Could he coach again? Will he coach again?
I can't speak. An old PR adage is that I cannot speak for an absent third party, Dan.
Yes.
So I don't know. I think Mike is very happy in his life. You know, Kyle has three children, so he has three grandchildren there. Crystal has four, including twin boys. You can imagine she's got four boys.
Oh, wow.
So the Shanahans, you know, Mike and Peggy are just loaded with grandchildren. Everybody has seemingly a very happy life. You know, they're doing well and all this. And I know that they just love playing with those grandkids and everything. And this is just my own little mind. You know, I think that there are very few situations that would appeal to Mike to start all over again, you know, and I don't know, but I know he's doing consulting or whatever you want to call it for his son, you know, Kyle with the Niners. And, you know, whenever you are a guy who obsesses over details, there are always plenty of details to think about. You know, I mean, seriously, like some people would dust a house and say that's good enough. Others would look and say, you know, maybe I'll move that lamp a half an inch. I think it'll look real good a half an inch. Or that's not quite squared up. Mm-hmm. Always find something to do. So I would say I doubt it, but you never know.
Yes. Hey, Jim, thanks so much. You're the best, as always. I've always appreciated your friendship and everything throughout the years. So I appreciate you coming on the show again.
Judge Jacobs, I'm glad you took my advice so many years ago.
And got out of the racket? Yeah.
You're in it part-time now, but you're in it a really good way in that you can do it, enjoy it, and so forth, and have it as an avocation while you focus on other things in your life, including your wonderful, wonderful family. Thanks for having me on, Dan.
All right. Thanks, Jim. That's Jim Sakamoto from DenverBroncos.com. You can definitely see him there. He's on Twitter at Broncos_Sacco, I believe. He still does Sacco Says, does the great stuff with 9 News. So he's the best. We appreciate his time. We're a little bit over. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll get more into this Mike Shanahan discussion as he enters the Ring of Fame next.
Stink isn't the only one who takes his lawn seriously.
All the rabbits in your yard, by the way.
Do you know how many times I've left my house, seen a rabbit on my grass, I've stopped, got out of the car, left the door open, and charged the rabbit to chase him off?
You are Elmer Fudd.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits.
Yeah.
Schlereth and Evans, weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
They are cute, but they are a nuisance.
Oh,
nuisance.
Nuisance. On Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Cresco is the food service industry's best supplier, equipping restaurants, food service professionals, and at-home chefs with all the essentials, from ranges, ice machines, commercial refrigerators, shelving, cutlery, and more. Cresco has everything, including the kitchen sink. Visit Cresco's showroom in Aurora, off 225 and 6th Avenue. Cresco is open to the public 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Shop online at restaurantequipment.com or call Cresco at 303-343-3333.
You didn't file your taxes last year, and the IRS didn't say anything. The fact is, you haven't filed income taxes for several years, and you figure it's too late. It'll cost too much, and there's no way you're going to figure it out. But there's still that knot in your stomach, knowing it's just not right. The bad news is, right now, you're a fugitive from the IRS. The worst news is, if they catch you, it's 1 year in jail for every year you haven't filed. I'm Jack McDonough, founder of Blackfin IRS Solutions. The good news is, the instant we file your back taxes, you go from being a fugitive to just owing money. And then, Blackfin can negotiate with the IRS for you. I can help you because I've been there. The sooner you call Blackfin about filing your back taxes, the sooner you'll get a good night's sleep.
Get caught up on your unfiled income taxes. Connect with Blackfin IRS Solutions online at blackfinirs.com. For free information on how to file old tax returns, call 303-904-1450, 303-904-1450, or blackfinirs.com.
Everybody said, go to Medfit now.
Hey, Colorado, so your summer plans have changed. No worries, man. It's the summer of trucks at Medved. Get hot deals on cool wheels at the Medved Truck Center in Castle Rock. They got train loads of trucks. Hey, say one, Medved got low financing and big discounts on America's best-selling truck brands. Ford, Chevy, Ram, and GMC. Four brands on 40 acres and one sales consultant can show you everything. Go online and get freaky with the deals you find there. Drive them, compare them, buy them. It's the summer of trucks, only at the Medved Truck Center, just minutes south of Lincoln Mon on the I-25 corridor. Depart the 181 ramp, Castle Rock. Shop online at medved.com.
The Dadvocates is a men's law firm with family law and criminal law experts ready to fight for you. Their award-winning attorneys focus exclusively on men's cases. The Dadvocates have experience with divorce, child support, and child custody. In addition, they also have experience with high-level criminal cases, including theft, drug crimes, sex crimes, and white-collar crimes. Reach out to their team of attorneys to make sure you don't have to jump through all kinds of legal hoops. Learn more about them and how they can help you at thedadvocates.com.
I'm Tom Shane. We get some great questions from our customers. I'm here to answer one. Lexi says, I want to be able to look at my engagement ring and feel good about where it came from. Are your diamonds conflict-free? Yes, Lexi. That's always been important to us. The Shane family has been ethically sourcing diamonds since 1929, when my grandfather opened his first store. Our industry has a positive impact on the diamond communities around the world. In fact, the revenue from diamond producers has enabled local governments to invest in public health care, education, roads, electricity, and more. You can feel confident your Shane Company diamond is conflict-free, while also knowing your purchase helped support a community. Learn more about our ethical sourcing at shaneco.com/conflict-free. Now you have a friend in the diamond business. Shane Company and ShaneCo.com.
Judge, jury, executioner.
Okay, that got really dark fast. Now back to His Honor Judge Dan Jacobs, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, back at it. Really appreciate Jim Sacamano from the Denver Broncos joining us. Just really have appreciated his friendship over the years. I was kind of talking about it a little bit because it was funny. He said the same thing about Mike Shanahan, which I always kind of thought about Sacco, which was, you know, I was a young man. I went to DU, didn't really, you know, I worked here at that time, part-time, running boards. I think they let me do some updates. They didn't let me host or anything like that. And I'd done a little bit of reporting, but I really hadn't been exposed to going out to the Broncos. And So I did a year at the Sports Fan Radio Network in Las Vegas. It was a national network, and I came back and I was a producer here. I wasn't quite yet the executive producer, but I was a young man. I was like 22, 23 years old. I met Jim Sakamano, who was a titan of PR, in the PR field at the time. Just a legend. He was kind of a kingmaker, by the way. Like if you wanted a Jim Sakamano internship, because you knew, well, one, the Broncos really do their internships right. Like, if you intern for the Broncos, it's a full-time job for that year. Like, you get paid, and you show up, and you go to work. Now, it's a tough job. It's not an easy job. But back in those days, I don't know how it is now, but if you impressed Jim Sakamano, he was kind of like Irv Brown. He'd get you a job if you earned it. And so it would be like, okay, well, he'd call somebody somewhere, and he just has people, I'm sure, all over the country that he's helped out. But I didn't work for Jim, but what I did learn from Jim was observing him and seeing the way he ran the organization or his part of the organization. And it was extreme professionalism, and there were so many good talks, but I learned a lot from him about how to conduct yourself. And I can tell you, my job here at the station was to manage all the relationships with pretty much every PR guy in the country, you know, college, pros. I was the guy that handled all those relationships for the station. So I talked to a ton of people, and I had a ton of relationships. And I can tell you the two I valued most are the two, I don't say valued the most, but the two I appreciated the most for a couple different reasons. At CU, David Platty. And the reason I like David Platty was kind of because he kind of gave you what you wanted, but it was because he recognized that CU needed good publicity, and it was to the benefit of the program to have open access and to be, you know, not have an adversarial relationship like kind of the Rockies did at the time or things like that. But he would help you because he knew it was good for his program. So David Platty was very helpful and a professional. And so I appreciated that at Platty. Sacco, I appreciated things differently. The professionalism, but you know, it wasn't, he was going to give you what you wanted. Cause as you heard him say, he's doing what's good for the Broncos. But what he would do, you know, instead of just saying no, like a lot of PR guys, you would go to him and say, hey, I want to talk to, you know, outside of the quarterbacks, you know, but you know, let's say I want to talk to Ed McCaffrey or Rod Smith or, you know, at that time, pretty much only Elway and TD were really kind of off limits. Although I actually did get TD. You know, but directly. But what Jim would do, instead just like a lot of PR guys would say, they don't want to do the work, or they just would say no. Jim would say, okay, well, locker room's open. I'm not going to stop you. But you go see if Ed McCaffrey wants to talk to you. And so he allowed you to do your job. He wouldn't do your job for you. But he also wouldn't stop you from doing your job because, you know, some PR guys just didn't want to be involved in that process. There's, you know, they want to, you know, they would say, they'd rather just say no than have to deal with it. And Sokka was never like that. The people that worked for him, very professional. You didn't have to worry about a lot of drama or anything like that. They were just pros. And I learned as a young man, that was a great way. And I haven't perfected it because I'm still kind of an emotional, passionate guy. But it did me a lot of good to see Jim Sakamano and his staff, the way they were true professionals. And a lot of good talks with Jim and, you know, him talking about, you know, how to conduct yourself and things like that. So over time, I considered him, Jim, to be a mentor to me, even though I never worked for him, because it was just so good for me, to see how he handled himself and to see in this article, you know, by the time Mike Shanahan got here and became the head coach, Jim was already a titan in his field. But to see that he took away things from Mike Shanahan was, I thought that was cool to see when I read that article this morning. One of the things Sokka was talking about, I want to bring you just a few of these clips, is that Mike Shanahan is never satisfied. Even in moments of glory, the pinnacle of certain things, he was always looking towards that next step. So if we have a couple of those clips, Dustin, we'd love to play those right now.
Defense stopped them on that last drive, gave the offense an opportunity. But that's the first one. We know what our goals are. We've got to get it done. Before we do that,
Anybody that has 176 yards and about 30 carries? This is a first step. I want you guys to enjoy your win, relax, but we're coming back, and we got one mission.
We beat a heck of a football team, but this is not our goal. Man, this is not our goal. This is a step. You enjoy it. We got one thing on our mind, and what's that? Pittsburgh Steelers.
And you got something that no one will ever be able to take away from you, and that's that ring, world champs. Congratulations.
TD.
Felt good to win that AFC, but what we talked about before, there's one goal we've had from day one, and that's that Super Bowl. Enjoy the win, but we're coming back with one thing in mind, and that's that second ring. You guys fought. We lost a little bit right there at the end, but you managed to come back and stay in there and fight your ass off. That's what it's all about.
Hey, guys, hey, second half of the season, that's round one, right? Monday night game against two? Something to look forward to.
Congratulations on your win. Enjoy yourself. Now we got a Sunday night game against those Colts.
Yeah. Did you pick up the theme? Like, every step along the way, yes, enjoy. He would say, enjoy the win. But it was like, we got to get back to work. We got those Colts. He was always looking towards the next thing. And, you know, I suppose one of the reasons I appreciate that is because I'm the same way. I'm always looking towards that next thing, that next goal, that next accomplishment, even if I accomplish something. I guess I admire them. Now, Mike Shanahan, it was kind of funny. I mean, there's story after story about, I mean, he was attention to detail every single thing. I shouldn't say was. I'm sure he still is. But attention to detail. I used to laugh. So there was a, remember the movie Casino, and had Nicky Santoro was played by Joe Pesci, and they were under constant FBI surveillance. So they had a jewelry shop, so they couldn't talk inside the shop, so they'd have to go outside on the street. But the FBI had brought in lip readers, so they would talk through there, but they would have their, he'd either have a toothpick, and he was holding onto the toothpick to obscure his lips. Or, you know, they're smoking cigarettes and they got their hands covering their faces. They're covering their faces. So people couldn't see, you know, what they were saying, right? I swear to goodness, I swear to God, Mike Shanahan did that same thing. We're at once a year, they would do, you know, during training camp, they'd go so the fans could have access to the stadium, you know, people that, you know, wouldn't necessarily have access to tickets. They could come watch a practice at Mile High Stadium or Power Field, and they would just hold a practice. So afterwards, we'd be on the field, and, you know, fans would get autographs and all that. It was a real nice event, right? They do it every year, and they still do it every year. And I'm looking at Shanahan. You know, we're grabbing players, things like that, and Shanahan's talking to Patrick Smythe. Or no, I think it was actually Paul Kirk at the time, and he's doing the Nicky Santoro. Like he thinks there's a fan or a coach in the stands with binoculars on reading his lips. And so he's covering up. So who knows what he's talking to the assistant PR guy about, but it was like state secrets. I mean, that's the way Mike Shanahan was. I mean, and oftentimes it went into tyrannical, but that's what drove him. That's how he got his success. And that's how they eventually had the greatest success in the history of the organization. So it's fun looking back on that. Again, thanks to Jim Sacamano for being with us this morning. We'll talk to James Merrillat, who's a lifelong Broncos fan, probably a lifelong season ticket holder, I'm sure. We'll talk to him next right here on the Dan Jacobs Show.
Live sports actions feature your way this weekend. It's the Quaker State 400 tomorrow morning at 11:30, exclusively on Denver Sports Station. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Everybody said, go to Netflix now. Hey, Colorado, so your summer plans have changed. No worries, man. It's the summer of trucks at Medved. Get hot deals on cool wheels at the Medved Truck Center in Castle Rock. They got train loads of trucks. Hey, say one, Medved got low financing and big discounts on America's best-selling truck brands. Ford, Chevy, Ram, and GMC. Four brands on 40 acres and one sales consultant. consultant can show you everything. Go online and get freaky with the deals you find there. Drive them, compare them, buy them. It's the summer of trucks, only at the Medveg Truck Center, just minutes south of Lincoln.
Oh. You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.